Think about a group of people who really mattered to each other. Maybe it was a family. Maybe a friend group. Maybe a neighborhood that felt like one. Now think about a moment when that group was in danger of falling apart. Somebody moved away. A fight went too long without anyone making the first move to fix it. People got busy and the calls stopped coming. You know the feeling? The slow drift when the thing you counted on starts to go quiet. Now here's the question I want to start with. What saved it? In almost every story I've heard, the answer isn't an event. It isn't a group chat or a holiday or luck. It's a person. One person who noticed the drift before everyone else did, who made the call nobody else thought to make, who remembered the thing that mattered to someone, who said, "We should all get togethers," when everyone else was waiting for someone else to say it. That person held the center. And almost every group that survives hard seasons has one, or once had one, and you can feel it when they're gone. This show is about what that person is actually doing. Because it isn't magic, and it isn't a personality only, some lucky people are born with. It's a job, a learnable job. And by the end of today, I think you're going to see that job differently than you ever have, including the part where it might be you. Let me give you someone to hold on to through this episode. His name is Marcus. He's 34. He works in a warehouse. And he has a group of guys he's known since they were teenagers. For about 15 years, they were tight. Saturday games, the obligatory text chains, the kind of friends where you could call at midnight and someone would answer. Then life hit them all at once. Moves, kids, one divorce, one of them sick for a while. The group went quiet. Marcus watched it happen and didn't know what to do. He kept telling himself somebody would say something, somebody would set something up. Nobody did. Then one Tuesday in November, he just texted the group, "I miss you guys. I'm buying pizza Friday. Who's in?" 6 out of 7 showed. And at the end of the night, one of them pulled Marcus aside and said, "We needed you to do that." Marcus didn't feel like the center of anything. He was just the one who got tired of waiting. But that's the whole thing, right there. The center isn't the loudest person, or the most important person, or the one with the biggest house. The center is the one who got tired of waiting and did something small. And that act, one text, one pizza, one Friday night, held the whole group another 5 years. Here is the big idea, and the books are very clear about it. The center is not a person, it's a position, and that position can be held by anyone who is willing to hold it. They call this the grandma function, and they're on purpose about the word function because they want you to notice that it's a job description, not a personality type, not a bloodline, not an age, not a gender. The grandma function is the set of small acts that hold a group together, noticing who's gone quiet, being the first to reach out after a hard thing, making the plan nobody else made, keeping the thread. Every grandma who has ever held a family together was doing these things. But, and this is the part that changes everything, you don't have to be a grandma to do them. Marcus did them. A 22-year-old can do them. A neighbor who's only lived on the street for a year can do them. The function is the thing. The person is whoever picks it up. Think of it like the jar. At any moment, somebody is holding the jar. They're the center right now. But the jar can be passed. The center isn't locked to one person forever. It's available to whoever is willing to hold it. I want to stay on this for a minute because I know some of you are already running the checklist. I'm not old enough. I'm not the type. My family already has someone like that, and it's not me. I'm too scattered, too quiet, too busy. Here's the freeing thing. The center doesn't ask for any of that. It doesn't ask your age. A 22-year-old who texts the group when things go quiet is doing the job. It doesn't ask your gender. Men hold the center of their families, their crews, their blocks, all the time. They just don't always have a name for what they're doing. It doesn't ask your blood. You don't have to be related to anyone in the group. It doesn't ask your personality. You don't have to be the loudest or the warmest or the most natural host. Ruth was quiet. Marcus was ordinary. The center doesn't require a certain kind of person. It requires a certain kind of willingness. Willingness to notice and then do the small thing you noticed needed doing. That's the whole qualification. And willing is a choice, not a trait. So if the voice in your head just said, "That's not me's," set it down. Because the voice is talking about a person type that doesn't exist. The center is a position that's open right now in most groups most people are in, because most groups, most of the time, have nobody clearly holding it. So let's get specific, because hold the center still sounds a little like a feeling and not a job. The books break it down into four actual moves, and when you see them listed out, you'll recognize everyone. Move one, they notice. The center person sees the group, the way a doctor sees a patient. They're watching for early signs. Who went quiet this week? Who seemed off? Who hasn't been in the thread in a while? They don't wait for a crisis. They catch the drift before it becomes a split. Move two, they reach out first. Not with a big announcement, not with a speech, a text, a quick call. "Hey, I was thinking about you." That's it. First contact isn't a ceremony. It's a tap on the shoulder. Move three, they make the plan. Not always a big plan. Often just a small one. The pizza Friday. The walk. The thing that gives people a reason to be in the same place at the same time. Someone has to be the one who says, "Let's do this on Saturday." The center person is that someone. Move four, they keep the thread. When something good happens to someone in the group, they share it. When something hard happens, they pass the word so people can show up. They carry the story of the group forward. Those four moves, notice, reach out first, make the plan, keep the thread, are the job, are the job. And none of them require anything except paying attention and being willing to go first. Now, here's the part where this stops being just a nice idea and becomes something you can build on. Researchers who study how human groups hold together, and there's a long body of this work going back decades, from studies of older communities to modern friendship research, have found a consistent pattern. Groups that have someone actively doing the work of keeping the group close tend to do better across the board. The people in them have more friends, feel less alone, show up for each other in hard moments. And the person doing the keeping tends to end up with a richer web of connections than anyone else in the group, not because they're taking something, but because the flow they started comes back to them. Here's what's striking about that finding. The center person isn't just holding the group together out of the goodness of their heart. They're also the one who ends up most connected, most supported, most likely to have someone call when they're in trouble. The thing they give, attention, first contact, the plan, the thread, comes back to them multiplied through everyone the group touches. The center position isn't a sacrifice. It's the most generative place you can stand. I can hear the smart objection coming because it's the one I'd raise. If the center person is the one who always notices, always reaches out first, always makes the plan, always keeps the thread, isn't that just a fancy name for the person everyone leans on until they have nothing left? Isn't that Priya from the other show, running dry on her Sunday night? Good. Sit with that, because it's the real danger, and we're not going to skip past it. Yes, if the center person is the only one putting anything in, they will empty out. That's not a theory. It happens all the time, and it's a real cost. But here's the thing, the objection misses. The problem in that story isn't the center. The problem is that the jar never got past. The center person held it so long, so tight, that nobody else learned they could hold it too. The books are clear about this. The job of the center is not to carry the group forever. It's to do the work until the group learns to carry itself, until other people start noticing, reaching out first, making the plan, keeping the thread, because they've watched someone do it and seen that it works. The center lights the fire. The fire is supposed to spread. A center person who holds on forever hasn't succeeded. They've just become a new kind of well. The goal is a jar that everyone fills. And the center is the one who places the jar on the counter and shows people it's there. Let's slow down and turn this inward, because this is the moment that usually lands differently when people sit with it. Think about the last time you noticed that someone in your life had gone quiet. Just noticed. That quick feeling of, I haven't heard from them in a while. Most of the time, we notice, and then we wait. We tell ourselves somebody else probably already checked in, or we don't want to be intrusive, or we'll do it later this week. But every once in a while, you don't wait. You just send the text. You call. You say, I was thinking about you. How are you, really? And almost every time you do that, the person on the other end says one of two things. Either, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you, or they tell you that they've been having a hard time and nobody's asked. Both of those answers are the center working. You felt the drift and closed it. You might not have called it anything. You probably didn't think, I'm holding the center right now. You just did the small thing that needed doing. The center isn't some elevated role that certain people are chosen for. It's the thing you've already done, several times in your life, probably without a name for it. What this show is really offering is the name, so you can choose to do it on purpose, more often, not just when the feeling is overwhelming, but as a regular, quiet practice. Not out of duty, out of seeing what it actually does for the people around you and for you. The books give a list of the kinds of people who hold the center in the examples, and it's worth going through it slowly, because the list is the point. A young father who is the one in his friend group who keeps everyone's kid's birthday on his calendar and never misses one. A retired woman who calls the neighbors she hasn't heard from after a storm. A 20-year-old who organizes the shared dinner in his apartment building for people who don't know each other yet. A small business owner who sends the good news about her supplier to 5 other small business owners who could use it, not because she gets anything, but because she knows they're all in it together. A son who calls his mom every Sunday, not as an obligation, but because he's noticed she doesn't hear from anyone else. A coach who at the end of every season makes sure every player has someone's number saved in their phone. Every one of them is doing something different. Every one of them is doing the exact same job, and not one of them was born to it. Every one of them made a choice, probably a quiet, ordinary choice, that put them in the center position of their group. The only thing they share is that they paid attention and they went first. That's the door, and the door is wide open. So here's your one thing this week, and I want you to notice that it's a give, not a test. You're not checking whether you're the center type. You're not running an experiment on yourself. You're just putting one thing into the jar for the group you care about most. Pick one group. Your family, your closest friends, a work team, a neighbor circle, whoever came to mind during this episode. And do one thing this week that only a center person does. Text the person who's gone quiet and ask how they really are. Make the plan that everyone's been saying they want, but nobody's set up. Pass along the piece of good news about someone in the group that the rest of the group deserves to know. Remember the thing someone's worried about and follow up, just because you remembered. That's it. One act. You're not signing up to hold the center forever. You're placing the jar on the counter so everyone knows it's there. And here's what I've seen happen when someone does this just once, someone else in the group notices. Sometimes they say something. Sometimes they just quietly do their own small act the next week, and then another person does one the week after that. The jar starts to fill from more than one side. You started the flow. And once a flow starts, it has a way of going on its own. So that's where we begin. The center isn't a special kind of person, it's a position, a job. A set of four small moves anyone willing can make. And the people who make those moves don't just hold their groups together, they end up the most connected, most supported people in the group. They placed the jar on the counter, and the whole group filled it. Marcus did it with one text. You can do it with one act this week. Next time, we take on the question that probably surfaced right about now. What do I do when I'm the only one giving and nobody else seems to notice or care? It's the realest question in this whole show, and the answer is where the books go deep, watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.